Morning. I have mentioned before that I always struggle trying to determine what I should speak about, what I should talk about. And I would hope that as I got more experience that I would get better at that, and that's not happening. I struggle more and more each time. As I've considered what to speak about this time, I happened to be in several circumstances where I seen young people, and I was kind of frustrated and turned off by what I see them doing to their bodies, what I see them doing as far as the drugs that they take, how shallow their thoughts, how just the lack of any concept of what life is about. And that is not speaking about any of you here. These were children in the world. And I thought, how have we dropped the baton of transferring wisdom and understanding to our young? What future does this nation hold when we are given to all the worldly lusts and activities that our children are surrounded in and drowning in? And so I thought, my generation has failed them. And then, as I considered the campaigning in the elections and my generation, I see a great lack of wisdom there. And I think maybe it's my parents' fault. They didn't pass me on any wisdom. I was going to speak on wisdom, and I consider some of the sermons that I have given, and there are virtues that I think are very important that we have in our life. And I've spoken on most of those. I've spoken on charity. If you have not charity, you are nothing. I've spoken on faith. It's impossible to please our Lord without faith. I've spoken on humility. One of the things that God hates is a proud look. But I have not spoken on wisdom, and probably for obvious reasons. But today I am going to take on that subject. Not that I can give you wisdom, because I don't know that I have it. But I want to discuss it so that you can study and you can search and you can get wisdom from the source of all wisdom. I'm not going to look it up, but you all know who the wisest man who ever was. Solomon. Anyway, great wisdom here. He was a child and given a great responsibility, and he was humble enough to know that he was not capable of that task. And he spoke to God when God offered to give him a gift. And he did not ask for length of life. He did not ask for riches. He asked for a wise heart that he could judge such a great people. He received that, and it was God's wisdom. I would like to start with discussing wisdom. There's not just one wisdom. There are several types of wisdom, and I would like to turn to the second book of Nephi, the sixth chapter. That's on page 109. I'm going to begin with the 57th verse. Oh, that cunning plan of the evil one! Oh, the vainness and the frailties and the foolishness of men! When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God, but they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Wherefore, their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them nothing, or profiteth them not. Wherefore, they shall perish. But to be learned is good, if it so be that they hearken unto the counsels of God. There is God's wisdom and there is man's wisdom. And if we seek out man's wisdom, we will surely find it, but we will perish with it. I'd like to turn to James. I apologize right up front. I've got more scriptures than I've ever had before to present what I know the least about. And so if you want to put your finger in a book, we'll probably get there. Let's turn to the third chapter of James, and we'll start with the 13th verse. Who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Wisdom is not something that we are proud of, that we boast of, that we stick out our chest over and say, I am wise. Wisdom is shown in meekness, in humility. But if ye have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I would encourage each of you to write that scripture out and memorize it and put it in front of you every day. Those words give us an attitude of relationships that will mend any tear in our relationships, whether it be a relationship with our God, whether it be a relationship with our spouse, with our children, whether it be with our coworkers. Those words of wisdom will mend and heal. I would like to turn to 1 Corinthians in the first chapter. These are the words of Paul given to the Corinthians. I love Paul. He can take a complex subject and make it impossible. But he makes you think. He makes you stop and consider. You have to go over it and over it. And so we may have to stop and back up. I've read it a number of times, and I still don't totally grasp it, but I'd like to share it with you. We'll begin at the 18th verse. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He's talking about the two types of wisdom. The wisdom of man, the wisdom of God. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And that confused me. So, what he's saying, in God's wisdom, in his great understanding, he has made it such that if we think we are wise and we have man's wisdom, we'll never know him. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Here he is throwing me a little bit of an insult and talking about what I'm doing as being foolish, and I'm sure he's right. For the Jew required a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. So, he is talking to us that through preaching, through the Word of God, we can get the wisdom of God. But if we seek it elsewhere, we are going to come up with man's wisdom. Because of the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For we see your calling, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It's through Jesus Christ that we can gain wisdom. It's through him that we can have righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That is where we gain the wisdom that we would desire to have. Before we go on, I'd like to give you the definition of wisdom. I chose to go to a collegiate dictionary because the unabridged gets me confused. And so I wanted it in simple terms. And so I looked up the word prudence. Prudence, and you may wonder why I chose to look up prudence rather than wisdom. I'm going to ask you to trust me. I think it's wisdom. Prudence. Foresight leading a person to avoid error or danger. The virtue by which the practical reason distinguishes the things useful for salvation. That's prudence. It's practical reason that picks out those things in your life that are useful for your salvation. Now I will read wisdom's definition. It's intelligence drawn on experience and governed by prudence. Wisdom is what we experience in life, and we take what we experience and we draw on it, and we pick out and we choose those things that are pertinent to our salvation. And that's what wisdom is. You don't get it as just a big lug. You can get it as a gift, and I'll discuss that later. But for the most of us, we get it by our experiences, by each lesson of every day. So be conscious of what's going on in your life. Consider it for the welfare of your soul. What took place today? What can I learn? How can I be a better person from my experience today? So that I am closer to God, so that I can be closer to my salvation. I would like to go to Proverbs, because that's where the bulk of my sermon is going to be from, because that's written by the wisest man in the world. And we're going to consider just how important wisdom is. We know that charity, without it, we're nothing. And it's impossible to please God without faith. Where does wisdom fit in the priorities of things? I'm going to turn to chapter 24, and I'm going to begin with verse 3. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth wisdom. And by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Now he's not talking about taking wisdom, going and buying it at Home Depot, and going home and building your house. He's talking about building your house, your life. What are you going to stand on? What are you going to make as your foundation? How are you going to put the walls up and be protected? How are you going to put a roof over your head so that you can gain the wisdom of God and shield out the wisdom of the world? I would like now to turn to the fourth chapter of Proverbs. Begin again with verse 3. For I was my father's son. Now that's profound. Tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. How important is wisdom? It's going to be what keeps us. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the ways of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take hold fast of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Wisdom, I think, ranks up there in the virtues that we need to have in our life. I'd like now to turn to the 23rd chapter of Proverbs and read just one verse, the 23rd. Buy the truth and sell it not. I've heard that many, many times. I can quote it, but I have not considered the last half of that verse. It says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. He is saying, whatever you do in life, get wisdom, get truth. Because that is what will get you through life. Who has the wisdom? What is our source of wisdom? To consider that, I'd like to turn to the second chapter of Mosiah. And it was interesting, as I was considering this scripture, at camp, the youth camp, their theme was from this passage. And nearly every sermon I have heard preached since that camp, something in and around these verses has been read. And so I didn't want to break that string. We will begin with, where am I? The 13th verse. Believe in God. Believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. God has all wisdom. Man does not. We can't comprehend it. I'd like now to turn to the ninth chapter of 2 Nephi. That's on page 132. Verse 116. You can also read this same passage in the 11th chapter of Isaiah, the first four verses. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now that's a prophecy of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. He is not going to use man's wisdom. He's not going to look to see. He's not going to listen to hear what the world has to offer. Jesus Christ is a source for wisdom, the wisdom of God. So how do we go about getting and tapping into this source of wisdom? I would like to turn to the first chapter of James and read that passage which we quote so often. But this passage was not written for Joseph Smith alone. This passage was written for each one of us. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That's how we can get wisdom. We ask the source of all wisdom, and he will give it. But there is some qualifiers. But let him not ask in faith, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So we do need faith, so that we can ask in faith that we might have wisdom. I'd like to turn back to Proverbs, the second chapter of Proverbs. I'm going to begin with the first verse. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures. We're considering now, how do we tap into this resource, into God's wisdom? And David, or Solomon is talking, I guess, to his son. But he's telling them, if you want wisdom, seek it with everything that you've got. Spend your time and your effort trying to obtain that wisdom. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the ways of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. So if we want wisdom, we ask in faith, and then we search for it. We diligently seek for it. I'd like to turn on back to the beginning, to chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. I'll begin with the first verse there. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel. He's gathered them together, and he's given them some wisdom. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. What he's saying is, don't forget the lessons of the day. You've seen what God did to those who worship Satan and devils and their own lust and their own flesh. But you also see what he's done for you if you've cleaved unto God. Don't forget those lessons. Hang on to them. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land wherein ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. If you keep God's commandments, if you have wisdom, others are going to notice. Just as others noticed that Solomon had wisdom past his reputation. If we are to have wisdom, we have to obey his commandments so that it can be noted amongst those who are around us that we have wisdom. Behold, I have taught you my statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land wherein ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous, as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things that thine eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. We have a responsibility to not only remember what God did in our life and how he has taught us and brought us into wisdom, but we have an obligation then to share that with our children and our grandchildren. Especially the day that thou stoodest before me, before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the Lord, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tablets of stone. Moses presented to the people wisdom that God gave through the 10 commandments. Christ came, and he gave us a law that is to be written upon our hearts. And that is where our wisdom must come from. It's from what God teaches and what he puts on your heart to do. But learn the lesson of every day and don't forget it and share it with your children. I'd like now to discuss the methods by which we can anticipate gaining wisdom from God. I would like to turn to back to Proverbs, the 9th chapter and the 10th verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. To begin to learn wisdom, we will notice that we begin to have a fear of the Lord. Now you may wonder, our God is a merciful God. He's a loving God. He's a kind and forgiving God. What do we have to fear? I agree, He is all those things. But He's also a just God. And none of us are worthy. We all have fallen short, as it says. And so we have reason to fear the justice of God. And it needs to be a prominent thought, a prominent factor in our daily walk, is that we know that we are unworthy and that we are justly doomed. And it's only His mercy if we can do those things that would request that mercy to fall upon us. Do we have any hope? I would like to turn to the 29th chapter of Proverbs and look at some of the ways that that fear is displayed. Reading the 15th verse. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Now, it's talking about a father using the rod and giving reproof to his child. But are we not a child of God? And should He not use the rod and reproof to give us wisdom? Because I fear that we are but a child left to himself, bringeth his mother to shame. If given our freedom, we will go awry. We will take ourselves directly into destruction. And so God needs to use the rod. He needs to use reproof, chastisement, to bring us to wisdom. I'd like to turn to the 3rd chapter of Proverbs. Begin with the 11th verse. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. So if we feel the rod, the reproof, the chastisement, be happy that at least God loves you and He is trying to correct you and bring you into wisdom's path. I would like now to turn to the second book of Nephi, the 12th chapter. That's on page 155. Begin with the 36th verse. Another method by which we can see God working upon our lives, giving us wisdom. One is that we will begin to fear Him. Verse 36, For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, lesson of the day after lesson of the day, and if we grab hold of it and retain it and utilize it and share it, He'll give us another line, another experience, another lesson to be learned. I'd like now to turn to 1 Corinthians again, this time in the 12th chapter. I'm going to read the 8th verse. You can also see this or read this in Moroni, the 10th chapter, and the 10th verse. For to every one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Paul is talking to the Corinthians about the gifts that God gives mankind, people of the church, so that the whole body can be profited and grow. He doesn't give everybody an exceptional level of wisdom, but to some people, He does. dump a truckload of wisdom upon them. And if there is one here amongst us that has that wisdom, seek him out. He is for your profit, for your learning, so that the body can be made strong. So some are going to be wiser than others. Seek them out. I'd like to turn to Mosiah, the first chapter. I'm going to begin with the 76th verse. I say unto you that there is not one among you, except it be your little children, that has not been taught concerning these things, but what knoweth that ye are eternally indebted to your heavenly Father, to render to him all that you have and are, and also have been taught concerning the records which contain the prophecies which have been spoken by the holy prophets, even down to the time of our father left Jerusalem, and also all that hath been spoken by our fathers until now. And behold, also, they spake that which was commanded them of the Lord. Therefore, they are just and true. And now I say unto you, my brethren, that after ye have known and have been taught all these things, if ye should transgress and go contrary to that which hath been spoken, that ye do withdraw yourselves from the Spirit of the Lord, that it may have no place in you to guide you in wisdom's path, that ye may be blessed and prospered and preserved. I say unto you that the man that doeth this thing, the same cometh out in open rebellion against God. We have God's word. We have the prophecies. If we listen to those prophecies, and if we listen to his commandments, we can have, and then if we obey them, then we can have wisdom. But if we hear that and we don't do it, we have gone contrary and we have come out in open rebellion against God, and there is no way that he's going to give us his wisdom. We will be dependent upon the wisdom of the world, and we will go on to destruction. I would like to turn to the 17th chapter of Alma and discuss who it is and when it is in our life that needs to seek out this quality, this virtue. We're going to begin with the 65th verse. And this is Alma. He's talking to his son Helaman. And now, my son, remember the words which I have spoken unto you. Trust not those secret plans unto this people, but teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest in their souls. Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto the Lord, or cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be unto the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Remember, my son, learn wisdom in thy youth. When I think of someone that's wise, I think of some old guy up on a mountain who has been thinking and meditating, and he's wise. This says, seek after it while you're young. Don't wait until you're my age. I spent my years being successful in business. And now that I'm a little older and I see the end coming, I start seeking after wisdom. And so as I get it, now I have to run my children down and tell them what a wise guy I am. and it loses some of its effectiveness. If I had learned it while I was young, I could have shared it with my children and to their grandchildren. Get youth while you're young. I would like to close with the 90th Psalm. I'm sorry if I didn't get to where you put your finger in the Bible, but I tried. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return ye, children of men. Let me interpret that. Man left to his own ways goes to destruction. So God has given us a free will agency. He has let us make the choice, and we go towards destruction. But He is always there, beckoning us back to Him. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Time is measured to man only, and not to God. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass, which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth, and it groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. He's talking about the wrath of God, His chastening, His rod, His rebuke, His reproof. We are ever dealing with that, because we are prone to go our own way. But He says, O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. He's saying, God, when we see what is right, where we have gone wrong, forgive us quickly so that we can have gladness. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. He's saying, work with us, reprove us, chastise us, but give us wisdom when we go right, so that your glory can be seen, so that our children can see the wonders of your hand working upon our lives. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. We need to give God the glory for any wisdom that we might eke out in this life. And so I say, may God bless you with wisdom.
Thank you, Brother Don. Two things I want to remind you of in addition to the activities of this day. One is our business meeting Tuesday night. Very important that you be here, 7 o'clock. And the other is that this coming Sunday is our regular third Sunday potluck dinner Sunday. We start those again in September through the year. And so let's remember that. Next Sunday is our potluck dinner Sunday. We'll close this morning with hymn number 158. 158.